The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It's The Breakfast Huddle, Elliot Danker and Manisha Tank, this Monday, the 7th of October. Time now for a segment that's so popular, every person in marketing is tuning in right now.
Well, they should be, because this is something we all have to learn. So artificial intelligence, of course, machine learning, cloud-based services, they're all changing the way that we do business and interact with other people, right? And they're drastically changing the marketing business too, right, Elliot?
Well, you see, it's really in the way that businesses market their products to people by allowing for programmatic marketing, which is basically a fancy way of saying automated advertising.
Yeah, programmatic marketing has revolutionized the way that brands advertise their products. And if you're a marketeer, then you should at least know the basics to stay relevant.
Well, Mitch Waters, Senior Vice President of Southeast Asia, Australia, New Zealand, the Trade Desk, in the studio with us. Mitch, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, guys. Thank you for having me.
So, very big word, programmatic advertising marketing. Could you give us the 411 on this?
Yeah.
What is it really?
So, I think the most simplest way to think about programmatic is the use of automation and data to buy advertising. That's literally the most simplistic way. So, previously, advertising was transacted through what we call insertion order, so essentially a booking, and you had to go out and negotiate the advertising deals that you wanted to do. And when you went to a publisher and said, I wanted this type of advertising, the publisher then determined what ads they'd send back to you. So say you wanted to target males, you might buy sport. And that was fine when there was five newspapers, five broadcasters, and maybe a handful of internet sites. But with the explosion of content and the amount of internet sites there are on the planet, the amount of TV channels there are, the amount of podcasts and audio stations there are, it's just physically impossible to go out and do negotiations with all those providers. Okay. So the notion that the Trade Desk does is, as being a buy-side platform, is we allow advertisers to select the inventory they want to buy through data, and it's done through an automatic fashion, namely AI and artificial intelligence.
It feels like the democratization of the advertising industry in a way, or like of ad platforms. Am I right?
Yeah, I think it's about giving the power back to advertisers for us. There's obviously technology partners that focus purely on the sell side, so giving power back to publishers. But it's enabling brands to take control with their agencies of the audiences they want to buy, and ensuring that for every dollar they buy, they get the closest advertiser, the closest audience to what their target audience is.
Any chance you could give us an example of brands or companies that are doing this right at this moment?
So we work with, I think the recent stat was 50% of the S&P top 500 advertisers are building their brands on our platform. We have over 50,000 brands working with us. There's a vast spectrum of who's doing what. I think a lot of the FMCGs are very advanced in how they use data and automation to hit a broad audience, but then also very targeted messages all the way through across multiple devices. So I think the advertisers that are doing this the best view programmatic as a way to facilitate omni-channel buying. So what I mean by omni-channel is traditionally, I think programmatic's been lumped with digital only and traditional digital only, so desktop, mobile, tablet. But what we're seeing is connected TV or TV, smart TVs, audio, so whether it be audio streaming or podcasting, and even digital out of home are now being able to be transacted programmatically. So the absolute best advertisers are looking at how their audience and their consumers engage with all those different platforms, and then tailor the message so that way they're not getting bombarded individually on each of those channels, but really telling a story and taking people through a journey.
Does that mean that, from having the overview of your platform, does it mean that you don't have to know exactly where you want to advertise, but you can kind of say, these are just the people I want to target, and then the platform works out the rest of it for you?
There's definitely an element of that. That's when you want to just target audiences. So using behavioral data, or if a brand has their own first-party data, then we enable their ability to target audiences wherever they are across the ecosystem. But I think it's still very important to have an element of context in there as well, because there's obviously amazing brands, publishing brands, that audiences want to be around and brands want to be around. So it's a balance. You definitely have an audience targeting sort of strategy that is about where they are and it's more around who they are. But there's absolutely a place to surround yourself with quality content.
We're speaking with Mitch Waters, Senior Vice President of Southeast Asia, Australia, and New Zealand at the Trade Desk this morning on Marketing Monday, talking about programmatic advertising and marketing. Mitch, what is the outlook of this? Is it here to stay? Is it going to grow? Where do you see it in 5 years?
So total advertising sits at about $725 billion today. It's forecasted within about 7 years we'll be at the $1 trillion mark. Now, there's very few markets that globally that have a $1 trillion total addressable market. Of that, it's estimated about 50% will be video or TV premium content stuff. Mm-hmm. So what we're seeing come into the fray is traditional TV budgets and traditional TV audiences are shifting into these digital devices. So I'm incredibly bullish about programmatic because it's not, as I mentioned before, it's not just digital channels. We have these TV platforms coming into the fray and there's going to be more and more channels coming out. And the only way to transact that efficiently, we believe, is programmatic. And I believe programmatic will be less viewed as a channel. It will just be a transaction method. It's just the way you buy rather than being a subset channel itself.
However, when we talk about this and we talk about taking sort of the, I feel like we're saying we're taking a bit of the human element out and we're using software and we're using an automated system. So what are the challenges? Because what happens when advertisers realize that maybe their ads are popping up in the places they don't want them to pop up in, you know, in places where they might be associated with, you know, sometimes on news websites, for example, you might end up next to a news story that you don't want to be associated with.
That's actually the strength of programmatic, because if you do programmatic correctly and you're working with partners, whether it be your media agencies that buy the rest of your media and they're buying the programmatic element, there's so many tools that are built into the platform that enable prevention around that. So you can be very targeted in terms of having a list of destinations or publishers or broadcasters that you absolutely don't want to run on because of that risk. There's technologies that scan for keywords. So let's say you're a travel brand and an unfortunate incident happens on a flight, it will read the page and ensure that you're not blocked there. Where in the traditional days when that technology didn't exist and you're just doing deals with the individual broadcasters or publishers, largely they didn't have that tool set and it was, oh, we saw it, quickly take it down, please. We do a lot of that fact-checking even before the ad is shown, as during the auction process.
Kind of understand what it's about right now, but if I'm new, I'm thinking about getting into this. Is there a right place to start, a wrong entry point, or I just let the trade desk sort everything out for me?
No, I think there's absolutely a right place to start, and that would be, as I mentioned earlier, if you're an existing advertiser that is working with a media agency, that's usually a really good first point of call. I'd say almost all of the media agencies would have this capability in-house. So the notion of programmatic isn't that it's going to silo away from the rest of your media activation. The whole promise of programmatic is you're meant to see more across and not silo your results. So I'd start at the media agency. But the other area that's super important is to educate yourself. And there's a number of ways you can do it. Obviously, you can reach out to a number of technologies that will be able to provide that resource. So the Trade Desk ourselves have this notion of the Trading Academy, which is an online web portal that is a learning development platform. So we've gone out and found other tech providers, agencies, and brands to co-host important topics of that session. And it's a really, really important tool because while there is a lot of automation and machine learning, that is only as good as what data you put into a platform because it's not translating real-world facts yet. So it's super important to understand the types of information you're putting into a platform in order to get the right answers out of it. And then the other element is do your due diligence on the type of technology you want to work with. If you're a buyer, I would suggest working with platforms that are focused only for buyers because then you know that there's no conflict of interest, because there's a number of platforms that either represent buyers and sellers. They may have their own media assets as well, so they may be buyers, sellers, and have their own inventory. So being super focused on knowing exactly the type of platform that you're working with is very important as well.
It strikes me that this service is pretty good if you're a small to medium-sized entity. Would you agree? I mean, because the cost pressure, I'm imagining, is a lot lower than the old-style conventional methods of buying.
Yes, we feel it's very efficient and there's a lot less wastage because rather than buying 1,000 impressions, which was the standard minimum amount for every dollar that you spend, we can target down to an individual impression, so that way every impression that you get is arguably closer to the target audience you want. So it's a really good entry point, but also it gives you access to channels previously that you might have thought out of your scope, namely TV. You probably couldn't ever believe that you'd have a TV spot, but running on some of the most powerful OTT apps within the region, whether it be Hook, Line TV, FCB, within the region is very accessible through programmatic tools.
Earlier, we talked about, you know, preventing ads from appearing in places that you don't want it to be, like adult sites and whatnot. And it reminded me of how yesterday I accidentally turned my Google Chrome incognito and kind of panicked. But on that note, what about ad blockers, pop-up blockers, incognito browsers? Does that affect this?
I think from my perspective, the whole rise of that notion is because we as an advertising industry didn't respect that balance between relevancy and privacy.
Okay.
There was element of really bad advertising that went on that turned into perceived to be creepy or followed someone around the internet, which has led to this ad blocking rise. Mm. We at the Trade Desk believe that we need to show advertisers how we can advertise better so that way the consumers see the value they get from the internet. Because arguably the underlying rule of the internet and digital services is a quid pro quo between I get this amazing free content for watching ads. Mm. Now, putting on shows like this is ad-funded, right? So in order to keep this amazing journalism and amazing diversity of thought and creativity and the marketplace of ideas, which is the open internet, it's very important that we strike that balance correctly to ensure that we maintain the ability to run these ads.
But what's the tipping point? Because, you know, Elliot cited a personal example. My personal example is there are often times where we're often checking on news websites and we're trying to figure out what's going on in the world, and you get these huge ads that come up that block half your page. And then I shut the ad down and I'm asked, well, why didn't you like this ad? Well, I didn't like it because it covered half my content. Mm. You know, so there is a tipping point, isn't there, where you start to get a bit of a backlash from consumers saying, well, now I'm beginning to feel like the advertising industry encroaches on my experience of the world. Yeah. How do you respond to that?
I think it's, again, it's just the examples you list are probably not the most efficient way of building brand around the audience that you want. And I think you look at some of the more emerging channels, the examples you cited probably tend to be your desktop, which was the legacy 101 example of digital advertising, where you go all the way down the line to potentially a connected TV or a smart TV or a mobile OTT device, where the ad sits within an ad spot like traditional TV, but is hyper-targeted to you. And so hopefully it adds value to your day rather than distracting you from what you want to achieve.
Mitch Waters, Senior Vice President of Southeast Asia, Australia, New Zealand, at the Trade Desk in the studio with us this morning. I suppose, Mitch, to wrap things up, let's talk about the promise of the advertising industry here in Singapore, because the Trade Desk is making quite a bit of investment in Southeast Asia and Singapore. Why here?
We see this as the future of our business. We're very vocal in the fact that the growing middle class throughout Asia is incredibly exciting and is an opportunity that hasn't been seen before. We also believe that the opportunity of Southeast Asia of sort of going straight to a mobile-first landscape, we can sort of hopefully bypass a lot of the examples you've listed to actually get to 100% data-driven advertising probably before the West. So we're incredibly bullish about the region. We see a lot of growth in specifically a lot of the smaller markets, namely Vietnam's a great example. We're seeing over 125% year-on-year growth. And as a business, we view, as I said earlier, this is the future of our global business, so much so that we have 6 offices within Asia and over 150 people sitting here. And that's not just salespeople, that's engineering, marketing, inventory and data partnerships. The other area that I think globally we want to get more understanding for all our employees around Asia is every year we have an annual conference. For the last 10 years, it's been in the US. January next year, everyone in the Trade Desk is coming to Singapore.
Wow.
In order to get an understanding of what it's like in our region and the nuances and the differences and the exciting opportunity that sits here. So it's a big investment by our business, but we see it as absolutely fundamental to take our business forward and be a global organization.
That's quite a statement.
We're very bullish, and our founder and one of our founders and CEOs, Jeff Green, is very passionate about Asia.
We've been talking about programmatic advertising and marketing with Mitch Waters, Senior Vice President of Southeast Asia, Australia, and New Zealand at the Trade Desk. Mitch, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Yeah, thanks for making sense of it for us.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.